Let us pray. Consoling God, though we are more likely to praise you for the blessings in our lives, those times when we feel that you are present with us, we ask that you remind us to feel your closeness in the hard times. It is here where you walk nearest to us, carrying us through the darkness, through the fire of our trials. May your holy word open our minds and rest in our hearts. We ask this and all our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our constant companion. Amen. Have you ever felt worthless? Have you ever felt worthless? Maybe most of your days you have a good idea of your own self-worth. Maybe you've never felt like less than nothing. If that's you, if you know that you're awesome every day of your life, you can take a nap. That's okay. For those of you who feel or have felt broken beyond repair, who feel unloved and unwanted, those who feel like cellophane, like the world and the people around you just see right through you, those who feel even sometimes like you've been forgotten or ignored or left behind, I'm talking to you. Actually, Jesus is talking to you too. In our gospel reading today, Jesus goes to great lengths to try and remind his followers that they are not just created to be forgotten. Each one of them, each one of you, is valued and precious in God's sight. Just as the disciples needed to hear this, we need to hear this. Because for some reason, many of us just don't believe it. One perception of God that a lot of people believe but maybe won't admit to is that God came along, saw the void and the chaos and the darkness, created light, created the cosmos, set it spinning, and then kind of walked away. We often think that while God is concerned with maybe the big picture, it's less likely that God gives much attention to the details, the minutiae of creation. How poorly we talk about ourselves sometimes. And really, what is today? What is this moment to a being who exists outside of time, beyond it, one who is eternal? For that matter, what is the life of any one of us confined by these temporal bonds? We're a page in a book, if we're even that on the grand scale of eternity, aren't we? Apparently not. In the midst of a passage where Jesus is explaining to his disciples how he had come to turn the world upside down, because a lot of that passage is about him coming and taking the world and turning it on its head. In the midst of all that, he takes time to remind them of their value in the eyes of the divine. This is made clear to both disciples and reader in verse 29. It's kind of hidden in there, and if you're not really paying a whole lot of attention, you'll miss it. Here he's trying to comfort his disciples because he knows that their life will have much hardship. He talks about that hardship in the following verses. In their following him, they will be scorned. They will be hated. They'll be belittled. That because they hold him up as Lord, they would be persecuted and rejected in their lives. He said all of this, and then he reminds them of their value by comparing them to a sparrow. You see, while a sparrow might have some value today to bird watchers or just their inherent beauty in the midst of creation, they were as close to worthless as it could get in ancient times. I mean, Canada has more or less expelled the penny, and in those days you could have purchased 2 sparrows for that forgotten coin. But that worthless little bird, even that creature, is precious in God's sight. Because, as Jesus says, not one of them falls to the ground unperceived by the Father. Our divine parent watches the whole flight of that bird. So why does that matter? It matters because so many of us are walking through this world feeling unloved and unimportant, worthless. But look there at the importance that God places on the fate of a single bird. God watches the flight of these creatures. God watches and follows it on its way. And God mourns it when it flies no more. If God spends that much time on the wings and the ways of a bird, how much more attention do you think God affords you, each of you? Reflections of God's own image in the world. Especially when we cry out to God as Christ calls us to cry in the Lord's Prayer that we talked about last week. Not just as absent Creator, but as an ever-present, eternally loving parent. Papa, or Daddy, as Amy and Jacob have often called me. Christ further drives this point home in the following verse, in verse 30, where he says, "Even the hairs of your head are all counted." So it's not just that you, that each of you are valued more than many sparrows, but even the hairs on your head are numbered and known by God. This should give us comfort because many of us lose and grow hair daily with little impact on our health and well-being. Some of us have less hair than others. And yet each one is so important that it is known because it is a part of you. It is known by God, numbered by God, every hair of your head that has ever been or will be known because it's a part of you, a being known and cherished by God. God is as close to us as our next breath, closer even. God waits as we sleep, walks our steps with us, laughs and cries with us. But that is the hardest part for us. We have the hardest time dealing with that God. A God who is all-powerful, almighty, one who loves us with an eternal love and yet allows such suffering of the body and the soul, as we see in the world and within ourselves. We struggle because we are caught in a binary reality where if it isn't this, it must be that. Either God is all-powerful or God is not. Either God is in control of all things or God is not. And if God is all-powerful and concerned so with the details of the hairs of my life, God must also be responsible for the bad things. How easily we forget that we are creatures of free will, with the ability to choose to follow Christ or not, the ability to choose to love or hate. Now, it's not that we choose for bad things to happen to us. I don't want you to walk away thinking that. But when you have 7 billion people making choices around you, there's bound to be some chaos, some friction, and some pain. And yet, in the midst of that pain, when we are brought low by the world around us, God is yet present, striving to guide us on the path to treasure from the heap of trash that we often feel that we are in. Jesus clarifies this in the following verse where he says, "So do not be afraid, you are of more value than many sparrows." Just as God watches the sparrow fall to the ground, so too does God see us in our struggles. More than watching us, though, God walks with us through them, holding us close when darkness surrounds us, because we are not alone. Do not be afraid, he says. Do not be afraid of slander, because God knows and will one day bring truth to light. Do not be afraid of the future of the church, because even Christ said while talking to Peter in a few chapters in Matthew, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Do not be afraid, he says, of the struggles and the hardships, the persecution and the pain, because every step in faith is walked hand in hand with Christ. I asked at the beginning of this if you've ever felt worthless. Maybe you're walking that dark road right now. Maybe you've been walking that road for a long time. One of the hardest things when you are on that road is to hear words of encouragement of any kind. It's hard to acknowledge any reality other than the pain that you feel. But through the drums of self-doubt, hear these words. Through the veil of darkness that you feel wrapped around you, allow this spark to catch within. You are beloved of God. You are cherished by God. And no matter the road you walk, you are never alone. So do not be afraid, he says. You are of more value than many sparrows. Amen.